Well, I too want to welcome you to Hope Community Church, a caring place where God transforms lives. And this morning, we're just going to take a few weeks together, as I just mentioned a few moments ago, and talk about experiencing Christ together. And then once we're done, and on the 21st of September, we're going to go back into a time with our youth leading. Our worship time on the 28th, and then in October we have Jim Ramo coming, and then we'll get back into our series entitled The Devoted Life. But today, as we begin, I want to ask you, if you didn't grab one of these booklets, if you wouldn't mind, just by showing a hand, the ushers can get you one, because what's in here is the next 3 weeks of what we're going to be looking at. When we say experiencing Christ together, we're talking about a biblical look at church membership. And so, first of all, on the behalf of the elders, I want to just thank you all just for being a part of what God is doing here at Hope. This is an exciting time, and when Tina and I have had opportunity to meet with individuals, we have been telling them that you are at a sweet time here at Hope. Not that any other time was, but just the way that God continues to bring people here, and we're, as leaders, are asking ourselves, God, what is your heart? What do you want from us? How do you want us to lead? What does this look like as we move forward? And so through prayer and this process, it's been about 2 years that we've taken and said, God, what is it? What direction do you want us to go? And this is the direction that we see he wants to take us as we move forward. Now, whether you've been here for a short amount of time and you're going, okay, this is all new, or you've been here a while and going, okay, what is this all about? We want to let you know that as we are in this new season, we all have new seasons, right? Like for myself, I'm in a new season with my family and my daughter who's a senior in high school and is beginning to put in college applications. Some of you are excited for this new football season. Others of you may be in other seasons, but we as a church, we're in a great season here today. And what we're saying is that we want to do this together. We want to move forward together as God's people. And we do believe that God is leading us in this direction. And over the next several weeks, what we want to share with you is principles about biblical membership. And not only in those principles, we want to take time together and we want to talk about Hope's vision statement. We want to talk about Hope's purpose statement. And we want to talk about Hope's core values. Why do we want to do that? Because we want to give you just a taste of what is to come when we get into a time in October membership classes, which I'm going to share with you in just a moment. But when we talk about this word membership, I think a lot of times we think of clubs, or we think of dues, or we think of meetings, and we think of obligation. But what I want for us to understand is what church membership looks like, and we begin to see that when Jesus was praying in the garden. In John chapter 17, verse 23, he says this, "I will be in them, and you will be in me, so that they will be completely one." A body of believers, completely one. "Then the world will know that you sent me, and that you love them just as much as you loved me." See, what the church was established for, it was established for the followers of Jesus, a body of believers. It's a localized community of faith that represents the universal body of Christ. And when we talk about joining a church, it provides a place where both you and I can live out our Christian faith with the help of others who are also following Jesus with their lives. And so what I want to do now is just take some housekeeping, tell you what's going to happen here over the next several weeks, tell you about our Discovering Hope membership classes and when they're going to be offered. And then we want to take a look at what the first church looked like in Acts chapter 2. And so when we take a look at experiencing Christ together, today we're going to ask the question, what's the purpose of a spiritual family? We want to, again, look at a biblical basis for being a part of a local church. And again, we're going to talk about Hope's vision statement. Next Sunday, we're going to take a look at living in Christian community. And what we want to do is we want to look at the aspects of a community, a Christian community, and then we're going to look at some ideas that come from the book Life Together, which were written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And we want to take time to look at Hope's purpose statement. And finally, in our third week, we want to talk together about experiencing church together. To take a look again at what church membership means here at Hope. And take a look at scripture and some concepts from the book written by Thomas Rainer, I Am a Church Member. And finally, we'll take that time in that third week to look at Hope's core values. So that's where we're headed over the next several weeks. Now, again, the question is, why are we doing this? And so what we're doing is we're getting prepared for our Discovering Hope membership classes. And they're going to be offered on several dates. The first date is Sunday, October 12th, and that's in the evening. And there's going to child care will be provided at that time. Sunday, October 19th, after church, where lunch will be provided. And then on Saturday, October 25th, in the morning, and child care again is going to be provided. And finally, Sunday, October 26th, and where it's right after church, and lunch will be provided. So as you can see, there's two times in there where child care will be provided, and then on those two Sundays after church, we're just going to be providing lunch. So that's what is going as we progress through this time together over the next couple months. And so one way that you can sign up is Tom Bagby. He's right in the back there, Tom, if you can show. Thank you. So Tom's back there if you want to sign up. But first of all, pray and consider it, and then you can connect with Tom. It may even be today. But also, another way, we're... No, you don't have to go to a mall. We're just asking you to go to one. I mean, if you want to go to all, I mean, you're going to hear the same thing four times, but it's just we're asking you to come to one time. Thanks. That's a great question, Steve. And so once we do that, the other way is we put together on our website. It's not ready yet. There were some glitches at the last minute, so we're going to let you know when that's ready. You can sign up via our website, or you can see Tom Bagby to do so. And finally, on November 2nd, Sunday, November 2nd, we're going to take a time of celebration of baptism. And we typically, as you know, as a church, we take time once a year at Carson Simpson Farm, but we're seeing that God is doing some great things here, and there are folks who either, A, weren't able to be a part of that Sunday in August, but also others are coming and saying, I'm ready to profess my faith to the rest of my community here at Hope, that I'm going to follow Jesus with my life. So that is where we're going, okay? So that's 3 months. That's all the housekeeping, okay? And so what we want to do today is look at this question of what's the purpose of a spiritual family. As I began, I said that we're going to be looking at principles over the next several weeks of looking at church membership. So in your booklets today, what we see is this, is that the purpose of a spiritual family is to show the world Jesus. The purpose of a spiritual family is to show the world Jesus. And we're going to bring this all together and what that looks like. Pastor Mark Devers said this from his book, Nine Marks of a Healthy Church, speaking of the body of Christ. He said, the body of people who profess and give evidence that they have been saved by God's grace alone, for his glory alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And so we see that there is a commonality that we have here as followers of Jesus Christ. We are a body of believers. And it's not just here that we profess him with our lives, but it is when we go out, as we say here, to where we work, to where we live, and to where we play. And so when we begin to ask that question and think about that, we're going to look at a passage that may be familiar to many of you here today. It's found in Acts chapter 2, where it speaks of the church beginning. But I wanted to give you some context so we can look at this together. In Acts chapter 1, what happened is Jesus himself had died, he was buried, and he rose again by the power of God. And he's with his disciples before he ascends back into heaven. And he says that the Spirit of God is coming. It's going to reside on you, and you're going to be my witnesses to the world. And he gave specific areas, but he said ultimately it's going to go to the world. And so in Acts chapter 2, there is a Jewish festival called Pentecost. And at Pentecost, the Spirit of God fell upon the people. And there, what happened as a result, the believers become confident and faithful. And so we want to ask this question leading up to Acts chapter 2. How did the church begin then? If you see in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, those who accepted his message, speaking of Peter, when all this was going on at Pentecost, there were people thinking there was some weird stuff going on, and the apostle Peter begins to explain to them. But then it says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. What we see here is that those who believed the good news message of Jesus Christ believed in him, and it says they were saved. Again, as we share here, they're saved from eternal separation from God. And so from there, you see what happens next. The church began. How do we see that the church began there? It said that 3,000 people were added that day. So Jesus tells his disciples, listen, my spirit is going to rest on you. The power is going to come from there. And guess what? You're going to go from 11. Now, he didn't say this, but imagine being one of those disciples saying, okay. And then, you know, within days, 3,000 people are added to this following. See, in the first century, these individuals were called followers of the way. And so someone had to have recorded the number of people that were added to the church. And so that's what we see when we talk about when did the church begin. But there was a progress there, if you noticed. Believing of faith in Jesus Christ, being baptized, and here at Hope, we call that believer's baptism, baptism by immersion. And then they were added. And so then the question is, if that's how the church began, what did the church look like? And so if you have your Bibles with you today, I know it's in the booklets and on the screen, but if you have your Bible, it's okay to bring them on Sundays. That's all right. We're going to look at Acts chapter 2 together. And we're going to look at verses 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And once we read these, we want to look at some concepts here together. So beginning in verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So not only at that moment at Pentecost, but as they continued to meet as a body of believers, people were being added. There was a movement of God happening here, as we believe at Hope that God is doing a great work here in Willow Grove. So as we look at verse 42 once again, it said that the believers were devoted to four things. It says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now, these things for you and I, even today, they're an important part of our Christian lives. To be a part of coming on Sunday or being a part of a small group, to grow together in our faith, to have time of interacting with one another, to take time in breaking of bread, whether it's a meal or through, as we do corporately, through communion. And another thing, as Andrew even mentioned earlier today, that one of the things that we believe is important in following God is to take time in prayer. And so I want to take these four things and talk about them together. First, we look at this teaching. What was going on is that for the apostles, they discovered Jesus by his teaching and his work. The apostles discovered by his teaching and his work. And so the stories they heard, the parables he told, the miracles he performed, they were a part of Jesus for 3 years. And so they discovered him. And then Jesus tells them once again, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to let the world know about who I am. And so they discovered Jesus by his teaching and his work. The second thing is they learned their Christian responsibility as his followers. They learned their Christian responsibility as his followers. Jesus said that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He was saying, now it's your part. We believe at Hope that God is sovereign. In other words, that God is in control of things. But he wants for us to do our part in this world, whether it's playing a role here at Hope or whether it's being a follower of Jesus and living that out in the world that you live in. The second word we see here is fellowship. They enjoyed the fellowship of Christ. So not only did the apostles enjoy being around Jesus, but now it was beginning a lot larger and having time with one another. It said that they had everything in common. There was unity through the Holy Spirit among these body of believers. The breaking of bread. As I mentioned earlier, they participated in the Lord's Supper. They participated in the Lord's Supper. And that is something, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we come and participate in communion because we are remembering what Christ had already done for us. As a follower of Jesus, there's significance and meaning. It goes beyond a piece of cracker and a glass of juice. We are remembering that Christ's body was broken for us and that his blood was shed for you and for me. That he died a sinner's death. He died a criminal's death on our behalf. And so we remember what he has done for us. And finally, the word prayer. The apostles observed Jesus' prayer life. They observed Jesus' prayer life. In the Gospels, Jesus took time and went away to rest and to pray. And three of his closest disciples were there when he was in the garden praying before he gave up his life. And so they observed that, and that's what they were seeing. They were taking those principles that Jesus had shown them, and they were passing it on to this new group, this body of believers, which was called the church. So we see how the church began. We ask, what did that New Testament church look like? But for you and I, what does it look like for us to focus on Christ? What does it look like for us to focus on Christ? Now, there may be many different answers. We take time with them. We pray. We connect with other believers. And that's where I want to go now. When we talk about our vision statement here at Hope, I want for us to look at that question collectively. We say here at Hope Community Church that we're a caring place where God transforms lives. When we look at that phrase, a caring place, we go back to Acts chapter 2. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Once again, there was a unity through the Spirit of God. That's the commonality that they had. And not only that, it says they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Now, I know here at Hope Community Church, we are truly a caring place. Not because I'm saying that, because I've experienced that. And there are many of you here today that you say, yeah, I know that this church has extended a hand to me when I was in need. Even today, as we come to a close in our service, we take a collection, a benevolence collection, to help those within our community of faith or outside in our community. And just one personal story, when we went and began to foster care, we have a ministry team here called Hope's Treasures, and they said, is there anything that you need? Is there anything that we can help you with? And they did. They weren't asking for us to pay them back, but that's what I'm saying here. They gave. They were looking out for each other. The early church was a caring place. And so for you and I, when we talk about this caring place, again in your outlines, is that we connect with other believers. First, that's what we do. We're connecting with other believers. And the second is this, is that we meet the needs of others in love. So again, the unity was through the Spirit of God. And second, the believers were quick to meet the physical needs of others. And that's what would happen in that day and time in the first century in the Roman world. These Christians or these followers of the way would get together to have a meal, and they would ask one another, where are your needs? And this one individual may say, well, I'm short on some funds here, or I need some help in this. And they began to ask one another, how can we help? And then this person would say, I can do that, or I can help here, or I'll be there. And we see that happening today here at Hope. And my prayer is that you do feel that way, that you do see that this is a caring place. Paul reminds us in the book of Ephesians the importance of our unity as a church. He says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. See, for you and I as a church, we focus on Christ because we have unity through his Spirit. So that's what we see here, a caring place. The second part of our statement says, where God transforms lives. Finishing off in verse 47 in Acts chapter 2, it says, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Where God transforms lives. We believe that it is God that does a work in people's hearts. We have been his representatives on this earth, but it is only God who can change our hearts and our lives. Because, see, even that early church in the Roman world, Christianity was considered a superstition. Why? Because in the Roman world, they worshiped many different gods. They went to many different temples to go and worship, and yet there was this group of people who were meeting in homes. They weren't going to the temples of the gods. They were breaking bread together. This was just odd. And yet we see here that the church belongs to God. We are a church with a small c. God's church is the capital C. We are, again, like I said, a local expression of the universal body of Christ. Because God is the one who built the church. He used individuals to be a part of that, and he invites us to be a part of the work that he's doing. And as his church, what we do is allow God to be the one to transform our hearts and our lives. And that includes me as well. So when we talk about where God transforms lives, what do we see here? We see that we devote oneself to learning. We devote oneself to learning. We continue to get to know God, allow him to change us. And as a church, we always want to be saying, God, what is it that you're doing? God, we know that it is only you that can make this happen. I remember when we talk about God can only make these things happen, we had what was called the Zone, and it was an after-school program here at Hope several years ago. And some of the students that we had come, they were tough kids. And then what happened was we had some issues with some of those students, and the school was like, you got to shut this down. And we said, God, what are you doing? We're doing something great for this community. But we don't want to have a bad name in the community. And so we prayed about it. We said, what is going to be the best course of action? Well, the best course of action is what God wants. And so working together with the school, we said, okay, we'll stop this. We didn't think, you know, I didn't personally, I'm going, what is going on? But then about a year and a half later, here we are telling you about the fifth quarter. And last year, our first fifth quarter had 65 students in here playing volleyball, downstairs playing ping pong, whatever that may be. And we actually had a student by the name of Kasim who began coming to youth last year. So it's God that does the work, not Jeff, not us, but he invites us to be a part of what he's doing. And that's why we say a caring place where God transforms lives. You notice as the passage ended, it said, and there were numbers being added because God was doing the work. The other thing that we want to remember here at Hope Community Church is this, and it's on this banner here, is that together we want to be a place where people are strengthened, genuineness is encouraged, and Christianity is a matter of the heart. Why do we say that? Because as we started this morning, we said we want to do this together. The leadership is Hope is not saying you do this and we'll just do our deal. No, when we begin to take these classes together, I'm not just going to be a part of teaching it. I'm going to be a part of saying I'm doing this together too. I'm committing myself to Christ Church right here in Willow Grove. Not that I haven't. It's just I want to do this together with you. And we want to do this together. And so that's what it looks like to be a caring place where God transforms lives. When we see that it is God who builds his church, we see that Jesus told Peter this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. He says, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. He's saying, Peter, I'm going to use you in great and mighty ways, but I'm going to be the one that builds my church. And he says, there's nothing that can stop it. Don't we want to be a part of that, a movement of God, where he's not only bringing people here, but people's lives are being transformed by him. Individuals, as you saw at our last celebration of baptism, 11 people saying, I'm following Jesus with my life. And we celebrated together. That's the church that I want to be a part of. I don't know about you, but we want to invite you here. God's inviting you to be a part of that. As we look at this, you may be thinking, well, what about you as leaders? Well, our commitment to you comes where we see in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. This is Paul again speaking to the church at Ephesus. He says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. I want you to understand that as elders and here at Hope Community Church, we have a great responsibility. Our role is to oversee. Our role is to pastor you and shepherd you. And so we want to do that well. And let me tell you, you have made it a joy for us to serve you. And so why that's important? Because it goes on to say, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. You see, Jesus, he died for the sin of the world. He died for sinners just like you and me. But he saw that the church was an important piece to this, for his message to continue to go on, for his people to be ones who are going out and showing Jesus to the world. And so we, once again, if I can't say this enough, we want to do this together as we are in this new season at Hope Community Church. I'm excited. The elders are excited. We're ready to move with God. And that's how we'll always do things. It may not look like the way that we want it, or it may not be the way that we think it needs to be, but yet we're saying, God, you do the work, and we're going to walk with you every step of the way. And so you're going to hear a little bit more about that in the coming weeks. And I don't want to forget the importance of what Jesus has done. Because when we talk about Jesus and his church, he went all the way to the cross. As I said a few moments ago, he died for the sin of the world. He died because there was no one who would step up and say, I'll be the sacrifice. I'll be the one who stands in place of humankind. I'll be the one to do it. And yet, not only did he die, but again, as we said at the very beginning, by the power of God, he was raised from the dead. And when we believe by faith that message, it says that you and I will have eternal life. A life that is full of Jesus Christ now, that we can live together, but a life that will be forever in celebrating him. And that's an amen. See, our desire here at Hope Community Church is that you know and follow Jesus. As we take a look at biblical membership, that's a part of what we're doing here at Hope in this season that we're in. But we want you to know Jesus as your personal Savior and follow him with your life. Because that's where your spiritual family begins. In my own life, we don't live near much family. And so we consider you all not just our spiritual family, the Hills, but we consider you our family. We're doing life together, and I hope that some of you may feel that way as well, even if you have family around you, but you see that you have another family that wants to show Jesus to the world. And so this morning, as we come to a close, I want to remind you that next Sunday we're going to be taking time to look at living in Christian community. And I want to encourage you to come back next Sunday. Don't forget to bring your booklets. Because we have all 3 weeks in there, and you know, if this is an area where you have said, wow, I do want to be a part of what God's doing here at Hope, be sure to connect with Tom. You can even speak to one of the elders here, but again, ultimately, if you've come to a place where you've been here week after week, and you're seeing that you want to live a life that's full of Jesus, don't let that go. Don't leave here today saying, oh, I'll do my deal, and I'll get Jesus when I need him. But we want to encourage you that if God is moving in your heart, that he's speaking to you, that you would say yes to him today, and come see one of us so that we can talk to you about what it looks like to begin your relationship with Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. So let us be a place here at Hope where we experience Christ together. Let us be people who have a desire not only to talk about and live for Jesus here, but to the world. And so that's where we're going to end today. And I want to just take a time of prayer as the worship team comes. And we just want to, again, celebrate who he is and what he's done for us. Father, we come to you this morning and we're just grateful that you have given us a place where we can worship you in freedom. Lord, we just know that at times, I know in my own life, I take that for granted. And Lord, now we come to you and we just pray that as we go through these next few weeks together, that you would open our hearts and our lives to what this all looks like. If we have questions, may we seek you first. May we come and just ask even the leadership what this all looks like. Father, we as leaders, our prayer is that individuals would know you, follow you with their lives. But God, I just am so grateful that we are a church who will continue to proclaim the message of Jesus. He is the one who is our hope. He's the one that brings healing to the brokenness in a world that's just gone mad. God, I thank you for this community of faith here, that we can do life together. And so, Lord, we pray that you would just make things clear, that you would help us with the doubts that we may have, that you would show us the next steps that we need to take. But we thank you, God, that you are always on the move, that you always are doing great things. And Lord, just like your son told his disciples, you've received power. And Lord, may we take that and may we use that, your strength, your might, your power, to be representatives of your local church here in Willow Grove. So this is yours now. We just ask that you do what you need to do in our hearts and lives. Move us, Lord. We want to follow you. And so we give all these things to you, believing that you're going to do great and mighty things. And all God's people say, amen.